This is Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. From the heart of New York City and the tri-state area to the most active real estate hotspots across America. Keeping you plugged in to the latest real estate market trends, from mortgage news and legal developments to everything you need to know about buying or selling a property, benefited by the advice of the experts. Now, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back, and I'm here with Lucas Ferrara, and our special guest, which we talked about before at the beginning of the show, Mike Miller, who's an attorney who deals with wills, estates, trusts, and you're really going to want to know about this. It's very important in planning. Good morning, or I guess we're closer to the afternoon. I don't know. But whatever. Well, thank you for being on our show. And, you know, I've been doing this for myself with I've been kind of getting all my stuff together, which I've been a little bit negligent on, and I shouldn't be. So I thought, you know what, this is really valuable information, and it would be really wise for our listeners to hear some of the big categories on how you pass on property, if you want to pass it on, what type of property can you trust? Maybe you could talk about defining what those things mean anyway to begin with.
Yeah. And before we do, Donna, may I introduce my friend, if you don't mind?
Oh, of course.
Michael Miller, who you're going to be hearing from in a few seconds, is a sole practitioner who has an office here in New York City, and his practice primarily focuses on trusts and estates. So just like I primarily do real estate, trusts and estates is what Michael has been doing for the last three decades plus. And as I noted earlier in the program, he is the past president of New York County Lawyers, New York State Bar Association, which is 70,000 attorneys statewide. Michael has been a leader and at the forefront of all things trust and estates, and including protecting, judges against, criticism, unjustified criticism, a big proponent of the administration of justice and the rule of law. It's an honor to know Mike, and welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much, Lucas. You know, maybe I should say thank you very much and hang up after that introduction, because, there's nowhere to go but down after that.
That was some introduction. It was great.
Earlier when we were offline, Dottie mentioned, that we're going to talk about estate planning, and I commented that estate planning is a very broad subject. So in the short time we have, we're only really going to touch on some of the more salient points in estate planning as it relates to the transfer of assets. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention that before you get to estate planning, there's life planning. And everybody should have a health care proxy, a living Amen. Will, and a power of attorney, yep. because, the likelihood is that at some point you're going to either have an illness, an accident, where you need to have medical decisions made by someone, if you can't express your wishes, a healthcare proxy gives you the power to appoint who you would want to make those decisions for you. A living will talks about what happens in the event that you are disabled and that there is no reasonable likelihood of recovery, the types of measures that you would want or not want. And of course, a power of attorney is a document that gives you the ability to appoint someone to manage your financial affairs when you were not able to. So those documents are essential in life planning. And before I really get into the nitty-gritty of the discussion at the outset, let me say that anyone considering you know, estate planning, establishing a trust for any reason, should seek competent professional assistance. And I work hand in glove most of the time with my clients' accountants to make certain that we are clear on what the client's goals are and how we can best achieve them. And sometimes they're not achievable. But the clarity that you get from working with their other financial advisors, accountants, and the like is invaluable. Now, we hear a lot in programs like this and magazines about trusts. The most common types of trusts it may surprise you to learn that what we're really talking about is ancient history when we talk about a trust. The concept of a trust is rooted in the property laws of ancient Rome and Greece, and they were further developed. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that. Can you go over that? I'm just curious. Say that again, because I didn't know that.
That the concept of the trust as we know it started in ancient Roman, ancient Greece, and then were further developed in 12th century England into the modern trust as we know it today. And there are many, many types of trusts used in estate planning. And although they come in different varieties, the most common factors to consider are whether they're revocable or irrevocable trusts. You hear those phrases.
Yes.
And whether they're living trusts or testamentary trusts. These concepts play a key role in how the trusts operate and the estate plan in question. I should also add that while there are many types of trusts that serve all sorts of purposes, they all share certain distinguishing qualities. A trust is really, it's a legal agreement with three parties. The grantor, that's the person that's establishing the trust, and that can be more than one person, actually, a husband and wife or partners, what have you. So you have the grantor, you have the beneficiary or beneficiaries who are the recipients of the benefits of the trust, and key player, the trustee, who is responsible for managing the trust. Once a grantor transfers legal title to some property, then the trustee manages the property as directed by the trust instrument, the agreement. And
Is that trustee a third party, Mike, or can it be one of the benefits?
Not necessarily. One individual can assume two or even three, all three roles.
I see.
As grantor, trustee, and beneficiary. Usually, in this case, if the person setting up the trust is both the beneficiary or at least life beneficiary and the trustee, trustee, there will be at least one what we call contingent beneficiary, the person that will become the beneficiary, the active beneficiary, on the death of the person that set up the trust, the grantor.
Mike, when you're doing setting up trust, would you be doing a will first, or do you have to, or can you set them up independently, or is there, in other words, is there a sequence you should do that in, or should I say, well, I don't have a will, but I'm going to make those trusts because I just bought a home?
That's a great question, Dottie. Great question.
Yeah, the answer is you change the facts, you change the outcome. It depends. If you should always have even if you have a trust, you should always have a will, just in case you haven't transferred sufficient assets to the trust. And by the way, I mentioned revocable and irrevocable trusts.
Yes.
A revocable trust is exactly what its name implies. It's a trust that provides flexibility. It can be amended. It can be revoked. And an irrevocable trust can't be amended, can't be revoked. And the assets, once transferred to an irrevocable trust, are no longer owned by the grantor.
So there would be nothing for the will to... So
let me ask you a question, because in doing my estate planning, someone said to me, you should put your home in trust for your daughter. Now, if I did that, like, if there's any legal things going on that happens, like, who's responsible for that? Is it the person that has the irrevocable trust, or is the person who... who's responsible in the interim?
Well, in the interim, whoever is the trustee is responsible for the management of the property, whether it's a house or an apartment, a co-op or condo. And we can get into transferring co-ops and condos, but there's a little more that folks should know, I think, before we even get
yes,
there.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and there are tax consequences involved in different types of trusts.
Let me ask you something, Michael. Let me ask you something, Michael. So you were talking about the irrevocable and wills. So if it's addressed in the irrevocable trust, then the will doesn't matter. It does not matter what you have in the will because you don't own it anymore, right? Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. That is correct. Or a revocable trust becomes irrevocable when the person who set it up passes away. So, you know, it's a complicated area of the law,
but your recommendation is you still should have a will, just so that our listeners can get that.
Yeah, we call them pour over will. If they have a trust and they put what they think are all their assets into a trust, and they pass away, and then it's discovered that there was an investment account where they didn't cross all the T's and dot all the I's, and it's still in their individual name, that asset is going to have to be probated, and you should still have a will and indicate that anything that may come into that estate shall pour over, that's why we call it a pour over trust, shall pour over into the trust and be administered in accordance with the provisions.
It's a nice way to sweep. It's a nice clean sweep. I love it. It's a great idea, Mike.
Right. It's sort of having belt and suspenders. But ideally, you would have, if you're going to go the trust route, and there are a lot of reasons for and against trust, depending on your situation. That's why I keep using this phrase that a wise old professor said some 40 years ago when I was in law school, that if you change the facts, you change the outcome.
Very true.
You may not want to have a trust. It may not make sense. Even though there are some tax benefits, you may lose some control over the way the assets are managed, depending on the particular type of trust.
Very interesting.
So and then when you have a revocable trust, you can change it, right? An irrevocable, once you do it, you can't. But there's no tax benefit like when you do a revocable trust. There's no tax benefit as if you would have. Why would somebody do an irrevocable trust? Let me ask you that. That's a lot cleaner.
Well, it would remove the assets from their estate, and it depends on whether it's an estate that would be subject to federal gift and estate taxes. The current exemption is a bit over $13 million, so you've got to have a pretty decent size estate, but when you get at, you know, up in those kinds of numbers, and for a married couple, it's twice that, so it'd be about $27 million. Taking a substantial asset or assets out of the estate can be of significant benefit. On the downside, transferring to an irrevocable trust is a taxable event, and you may have to pay certain taxes on transferring your own assets into the trust. So that's why I said you really need to have your financial advisor,
right,
your accountant, working with your lawyer to make sure that it makes sense for you with an irrevocable trust.
And an irrevocable trust is almost impossible to break, right, Michael? Because once it's done, it's
absolutely
done.
That's
and if you do an irrevocable trust, you've lost all control. I mean, it's over.
Right.
That's not yours anymore.
Well, you can still be the trustee and make investment decisions about the assets in the trust, but it makes it more cumbersome.
Well, look at it this way, Dottie.
You know, and
Dottie,
you can also,
if you fall out of love, if you fall out of love, or if you don't like your kids anymore, whoever the beneficiaries are, right, you can't change it.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well, that's why don't give it to lovers, okay?
Or kids.
Especially with the
beneficiaries. Well, if beneficiaries die, if your kids marry somebody, let's say you think your kid has married a gold digger or they are married and then they get divorced and they marry again and they have kids from both marriages, and you want to take care of all your grandchildren, an irrevocable trust can be more restricting. By the way, there's also the trust created in a will. We call it a testamentary trust. It gets its name because it's established in the grantor's last will and testament. And it starts out as a living revocable trust because since it's established in your will, you can change it any time, but it becomes an irrevocable trust upon your death, and it's funded only on the grantor's death, as opposed to an intervivos trust.
Hey, Mike, can I ask you a question?
One thing I just want to go back
people,
to.
Probably their heads are spinning already.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a lot. It's
irrevocable, irrevocable, testamentary.
That's why we're gonna have to come back and do a lot of this because it's a lot to really digest, and it's so important.
It's
so
interesting.
Let's go back to just go back to basics. Could you go over title ownership? Like, you could have a joint tenancy, a tenancy in common, a tenancy. Would you explain those tenancies first? And those are just basic.
Sure. Well, a joint tenancy with right of survivorship. I think a lot of people actually know about this stuff because people own homes, and if you own it with your spouse, you have a tenancy, what we call a tenancy by the entirety, which is a right of survivorship. And if it's not with your spouse, it's tenancy in common is where Lucas and I own a piece of property, but there's no right of survivorship. So,
you're married is right. What you have in your marriage, if you buy something as marital property together, you have to pass it on to the survivor, your spouse. Okay, that's how that works.
You don't have to, but most people would.
But don't you, by law, if you don't have some other agreement? Well, maybe we'll wait till the break, and then you can tell us, because that's like a cliffhanger. I thought you had to, if that's how you bought it, but maybe I'm wrong. So we're talking about when you buy a property together as a married couple. And we'll answer that in 2 seconds. We just have a quick break.
Hi. I love bringing you products that improve your life. Well, this product can save a life. Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. You know, there are approximately 5,000 choking deaths in the U.S. each year. One child dies every 5 days from choking. The solution is called LifeVac. My dear friend Arthur Lee is the founder, CEO, and inventor of LifeVac. It's a simple rescue device that can change your child's life in a choking emergency. It's non-invasive and easy to use. If you have a young child in your family, I strongly recommend you visit the LifeVac website at lifevac.net. That's LifeVac.net. View the videos demonstrating its ease of use. LifeVac works in three simple steps: place, push, and pull. The LifeVac device dislodges the obstruction and suctions out the food or object. It's that simple. LifeVac.net, made in the USA and FDA registered.
Feel like you're trying to push a boulder uphill wearing skates? If you run or manage a local business today, you're challenged like never before. We get it, and we want to help. We're Salem Surround, and when it comes to marketing, consider us your personal move you forward company. In a recent study, we found that 53% of local businesses were classified as novices when it came to designing, implementing, and managing their marketing needs. And that's where Salem Surround truly shines. We're a full-service marketing agency that'll help you increase your customer base by designing incredibly effective plans to reach your consumers day, night, and everywhere they might be. Let us give you an absolutely free audit of your current marketing and what your competition is doing. Our digital sales and support teams are the best in the industry and deliver customized personal service that's second to none.
If you're a local business and ready for the next step, Google Salem Surround New York right now. Our experts are ready to help you take your marketing to the next level. Google Salem Surround New York today.
Craving that signature Sunday sauce? Michael's of Brooklyn will make your place a must. Join Michael's of Brooklyn Sauce of the Month Club. Receive a different jar of Michael's of Brooklyn pasta sauce, homemade pasta and biscotti each month for 6 months. Make your home the place to be with Michael's of Brooklyn signature fresh marinara right in your home. Visit michaelsofbrooklyn.com and order online. That's michaelsofbrooklyn.com. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Joe Piscopo Show, mornings 6 to 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. Here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back and we're having an interesting conversation with Michael Miller, who deals with estates and trusts and things of that nature. And I know we're running short of time, so I don't know how... We'll have to come back and try to
Please, Michael. Please come
back.
But you left a cliffhanger.
Yes, let's finish the question.
And your question was whether a husband and wife are required to purchase property with right of survivorship. Generally speaking, there's no such requirement. They could, for tax purposes, or maybe they have assets that came to them from prior marriages or whatever, and they have some kind of structure in mind. They could purchase as tenants in common, meaning that they keep their separate interests, and if they pass, if one of them passes, it goes to whomever they designate. But most of the time, husband and wife purchase as joint tenants or tenants by the entirety, we call it, which has right of survivorship. And if the property is mortgaged, almost certainly if the husband and wife are both on the mortgage, the bank is usually going to want both of them to be on the deed. So
let me ask you, Mike.
With survivorship. But
yeah, that makes sense, Mike.
General rules.
Yeah, that makes sense, Mike. But let me ask you something, because I'm sure our listeners are curious. Why care about trusts?
Why? Because trusts provide a lot of flexibility. They're extremely useful in planning to provide for your loved ones, your heirs. They're used extensively in connection with property held for minors, life insurance proceeds, marital deduction bequests, which could be a whole subject in and of itself, credit shelter bequests, charitable transfers, avoiding probate, and the costs and delays associated with the process. Those are frequently key reasons behind establishing a trust. But as I said, all of the assets need to be transferred to the trust in order to be certain that you'll avoid probate. And also, there are concerns. I should say, what is probate? I said before that we lawyers love Latin. The English word probate derives from the Latin verbs probo and probare, to try, to test, to prove. So the probate process itself is a means to test that the will is actually the authentic wishes of the person that made the will. And probate simply means proving. The probate of a will is that the will is being proven to be truly the will of the decedent.
Yeah. And that would happen.
But we're going to have to this through. But I just want to say this. If you don't do this and your property ends up in probate, where they have to probate the will, if it's not done ahead of time, probate can take forever, depending on the judge. And I've heard some horror stories about things that were stuck in probate for a long time because there wasn't specifically trust done. And so, and in that time, it could be 6 months, 8 months, a year, then you really can't do anything.
Delay.
You're just waiting. It's a delay.
Well, it's a delay and significant expense.
Right.
It's not the end of the world because you can get limited authority to manage property, but it's much more cumbersome, and the delay factor. If family members are going to need access to funds quickly, it can be a real problem.
It can be. So I just have to say this. There's so much to go over that we hope that you'll come back so we can kind of go through the different types of trusts and and some of the tax-saving measures that people use them for and the pros and the cons. And
we didn't even get into co-ops and condos.
No, we didn't. No.
So you have to come back because this is so important, and it's really important for anybody who owns property to really get this done and don't delay.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for coming.
I'm going to post.
My pleasure.
I'm going to post all your information on the website for the radio show and on my website, so that if you want to get in touch with Michael, you can. And you'll have to be sure to come back so we can finish this all up.
Well, thank you for
having me.
I hope it was informative, not too confusing for your listeners, and. It's a big topic.
Yes, a big topic,
it's a big
and we'll help you digest it in smaller pieces as we go along. So this is not the end of the subject. Thank you so much, Michael. You'll be on again, and we'll kind of go through this. And it's a big subject, so that's all I can say.
Thank you, Michael.
Have a good weekend. And now I am so glad to and excited to introduce what I consider Broadway's Tony-winning producer, Woman of the Year. She's the best that I know, plus a lovely human being and a friend, Wendy Fetterman. And she's going to discuss the latest on Broadway and the Broadway Museum. Well, I'd say good morning, but I think we're closer to the afternoon. So, good afternoon, Wendy. I haven't seen you for a long time. I miss you.
I know, Todd. I miss you, too, but we'll catch up soon. There's a lot of shows. You got to have to let me know what you want to see. There's so much going on Broadway right now.
I know. Well, could you give us a little synopsis?
Absolutely. You know, this season, especially the spring season, I think in the last 4 or 5 weeks, there's been maybe 12 or 13 shows that have opened.
Wow.
So there is so much. I know. Tell me about it. Four of them being mine, proudly. But there is just
Which
so
ones
much
are yours?
Choice.
Tell us.
We started the end of March with the Who's Tommy, which of course
that's
made reviews. It's fabulous.
I was just talking to my daughter about that because we always for Mother's Day go to a play, and this year
I can't make it.
So we're going to go the week after, and we were just talking about going to see Tommy.
You let me know. We'll take care of it. So we have Tommy. Then we opened the best reviewed new play of the year, which is called Stereophonic. It is terrific. It's a fabulous new American play about the making. It's really about a group, about a band in the 1970s. People say that it's got a lot of similarity to the story of Fleetwood Mac and the making of the Rumors album. But it's a brilliant, wonderful play that happens to have some incredible songs in it. And it's for those of us that remember the great music of the 70s and for young people who want to watch young people being creative, and the best reviewed play of the season. It's fabulous. Then we opened the wonderful revival of Cabaret, which just came from, that we brought in from London with starring Eddie Redmayne. And we turned the entire theater into a nightclub. It's the Kit Kat Club. So you can come to the show about an hour and a half before. We turned it into bars and lounge areas, as well as the performance, which is in the round. And there's pre-entertainment, so there are actually a different cast that's entertaining you before. You can get all sorts of drinks. If you want to get cabaret tables up front, you could order a light meal and champagne or wine.
Wow.
So it's a wonderful, it's an incredible experience and a brilliant show. B.B. Newworth, the amazing B.B. is in it, and a wonderful Gail Rankin, who is our Sally Bowles. And then finally, the best new musical of the year, our best reviewed new musical of the year, which is called Illinois. And it is a beautiful story told through dance based on an album by Sir Jim Stevens, brilliant indie artist, composer, and Justin Peck, who's very famous. Your ballet fans will certainly know Justin Peck, the choreographer. It is just 90 minutes of pure bliss of storytelling through dance and song. And again, it's the absolute best reviewed new musical of the season. We just opened Wednesday at the St. James Theater, and now the season's done. I mean, pretty much now every show that's up for Tony Award contention has opened. The season officially ended on Thursday, and Tony nominations will come out Tuesday morning. So all of us in producer land on Broadway are holding our crossing fingers and holding our breath.
I have a lot of catching up to
do. So much out there to see. Yes.
Yeah.
And there's great stuff off Broadway. It's a great season for people that love theater. And
so how is Broadway doing? I mean, it came back.
Numbers are up. Numbers are up, for sure. There is, I've been at theater now almost every night. I was just recently in London because I have a bunch of shows running there. And London is over the top. London is 100% plus in terms of theater occupancy. They're doing great. I would say we're really coming back. Theaters are full. A lot of shows are showing really strong numbers. There is a lot of product out there. It's a really wonderful time for people. If you're ready to come back for Broadway, you can find some shows with some really good prices on them. So when people say theater's so expensive, I think because there's a lot of selections out there, you know, that there's a lot of opportunities to come and see shows right now at reasonable prices, but there's something for everybody. And yes, the city's busy. Reservations are busy. My friends are in restaurants in the theater neighborhood are very happy. And
Wendy,
you know,
I
think we're coming out.
Hold your thoughts. We have a quick commercial break, and I want to talk about Broadway and who's coming back, because no one does Broadway like New York City. I don't care where you go. And Wendy's the queen of Broadway. We'll be right back with Wendy Fetterman, and we'll keep you up on all the many shows that are out and how you can get tickets. Be right back after a quick commercial break with Wendy Fetterman.
Over the last 30 years, Newman Ferrara, a New York City law firm, has evolved into a national practice focused on real estate, commercial, litigation, civil rights, class actions, and other complex litigation, representing many of the city's largest property owners, managing agents, and thousands of tenants. Newman Ferrara handles some of the nation's most significant class actions and civil rights matters. Newman Ferrara at 1250 Broadway in New York City. Go online to NewmanFerrara.com. That's NewmanFerrara.com. Listen to the firm's name partner, Lucas Ferrara, every Saturday at 10 a.m. on Dottie Herman's longest-running real estate radio program, Eye on Real Estate on AM 970. A real estate lawyer for 35 years, Lucas is a professor at New York Law School and is also a published author with books on real estate and New York's landlord-tenant law. Tune in Saturdays at 10 a.m. to hear Lucas's unique perspective and advice on Eye on Real Estate.
Are you ready to embark upon an unforgettable expedition this summer? I hope you'll join me, Mike Gallagher, along with Dr. Sebastian Gorka and our special guests on the Patriots Alaska Cruise. We'll unpack the trends and influences shaping our world today while sailing the pristine coast of Alaska over 4th of July. Learn more at PatriotsAlaskaCruise.com. This experience is way more than a vacation. It's a chance to participate in spirited discussions and thought-provoking lectures on board the ship with like-minded patriots. 7 action-packed days. We'll chart a course toward a bright American future, all while surrounded by Alaska's rustic and natural wonders on a beautiful luxury cruise ship. You'll experience powerful creation immersed in the splendor of glaciers and fjords. Mark your calendar, June 29th, July the 6th. Secure your cabin by calling 855-565-5519 or book online at PatriotsAlaskaCruise.com.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow don't have the support of box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. It's part of this cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly on to you. They are having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Since then, with the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products. To get the word out, they're having a $25 extravaganza. 2-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. The 6-pack towel set, $25. The 4-pack dish towels, you guessed it, $25. For the first time ever, premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, any size and any loft level, just $25. This amazing offer will not last long, so order now. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-651-0798. Use the promo code JOEP.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. Here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back with Wendy Fetterman, who is the queen of real estate. She's a Broadway Tony winning producer who has quite a few of her things playing right now. Wendy, I have to ask you a question. Somebody just asked me about who was buying in the city. Like, were they foreigners? And I said, well, foreigners are starting to come back, but majority of people that are buying in the city are really people from the U.S. that I see now, or younger people. What about plays? Do you see maybe people who, like, who's attending plays? Do we have foreigners back yet? Or is
the demographics of theater, which have changed a bit over the years, you know, actually it's actually gotten a younger age, which is kind of nice. You know, a lot of people over a certain age, more have moved south, as we well know, and we're anticipating a lot of them coming back more toward the summer. But we are seeing younger people, and it's always been musicals always tend to drive more tourist audience. I know I was at 2 musicals this week, and it was that they were definitely more of an out of town crowd. I would say that plays tend to be a bit more of our local metropolitan crowd. Of course, it depends if there's stars in them, if they're star-driven. For example, Steve Carell is in Uncle Vanya at Lincoln Center, so people that love The Office may be buying tickets to see Steve Carell, not realizing they're about to sit through, you know, almost 3 hours of Chekhov, which could be wonderful and really mind-expanding. But again, plays tend to be, or you get one like Stereophonic that has just such amazingly incredible reviews. And because a lot of people know the songwriter, Will Butler, who wrote a lot of the music, they're attracted to it. So maybe that's getting a play-going audience, and maybe we're calling it a hipster audience of all ages. So again, there is a bit of a difference. Plays do tend to be more of a New York-centric metropolitan area. But again, if there are stars, you know, you've got Jessica Lange in Mother Play with Jim Parsons. So again, that might be something, you know, that if people are coming in from out of town and they're either doing their own homework or they're talking with their hotel concierge, where, you know, they may be saying, all right, you know, I need a splashy, I want a musical, but, you know, tell me some celebrities that are in a show. So again, I think there's going to be a bit of a mix. But as I said, musicals always tended to be at least more, I would say, 70% tourist-based, where plays were a bit more local, reliable, heavy. And then it also depends, you know, a lot of the plays tend to wind up, whether they're at Lincoln Center or with Roundabout or MTC, which are subscription-based theaters, meaning that they've already got their sort of their customer base because people are buying your 3-4 shows for the whole season. So that can make a difference. But I've been seeing definitely a lot of tourists, you know, are people coming back into town. And I've definitely been seeing just a lot of locals coming back and wanting to get back to theater. I only know from the people that I know of just filling a lot of ticket requests. So I'm very happy to see that. And it's kind of a bit across the board. Yeah, although I have to say Tommy has been one of the top requests.
My daughter called me up and she said, oh, we're thinking of seeing Tommy. And I have a granddaughter, so she said, well, will Taylor like it? I said, who wouldn't like Tommy? I grew up with that song, with Tommy. But
it's so electric, and you're going to love the new way it's staged. It's really done brilliantly, you know, now having all the visual effects that we can do with it, between the sound and the audio visual effects and screens that we can use, it just heightens the story. And of course that music is just, you know, as phenomenal as ever. But it's a really great story about this journey of this young man who, you know, traumatized at a young age. Peter Townsend wrote when he was 23 years old, and now at 79 he's just beyond thrilled. He was still very involved, tweaking it and working with it, and came out a couple of times and holding a guitar and kind of rocked out with it, with the cast and it's just been an amazing experience. And it really is for just about every age. You're just going to walk out of there just feeling up. You know, you're walking out of the Niederlander Theater just bouncing, full of energy. Right. It's really energetic, kind of similar. You know, Cabaret, I kind of love because it's one of the shows that you really, people are dressing up for it. It's a night.
Really?
You don't have to think about, well, because it's we gutted the theater and we made it so beautiful. You really have walked into a nightclub. You are leaving the world behind and coming into this nightclub of 1931 Berlin. And the outfits have just been amazing. But you can get there earlier. You can stay later and have drinks. So it's really become sort of an evening, a night. It's a full or afternoon, but it's a full experience. And again,
things leaning towards that, because that's really a great perk. In other words, you can spend the whole night there. In other words, it's a
whole...
You
really can, yes, yes. I think you're going to find more entertainment. Obviously, to do it on Broadway is a huge endeavor because it's the most expensive way to do it.
I know.
There is a lot of immersive entertainment in town. I think we're going to be seeing, you know, for people that really love all four, you know, forms of entertainment, you know, there will be more and more forms of entertainment. I mean, the one that's been around for years that I think just closed was Sleep No More, where it was really sort of a walk-through entertainment, and you had 91 rooms to go through and walk up and down different flights of stairs, and it became so popular that they wound up putting restaurants and clubs in the building. But again, there are more and more of those kinds of entertainments as well. Again, to your point, New York City kind of has everything. There's great shows off-Broadway. You know, I'm a huge fan of the Public Theater and all those little theaters going down West 42nd Street. There's so much going on in New York right now that, you know, to be taken advantage of. And it's wonderful to see people out and about again. Especially now the weather's getting better. It's really, the streets have been bubbling. It's been wonderful.
It is. And there's no place like New York City. I was in Florida and went to see, which I saw already in New York, but I saw it because my friends didn't see it in Florida, and they went to see Hamilton. And no offense, Florida, but it just doesn't compare to New York. I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, I'm sure the cast was good, but, you know, I saw them in both places, and There's no place like New York City when it comes to plays.
You know, I agree. We send a lot of our musicals and show, you know, go out on tour, which is a wonderful way for people around the country who cannot get to New York City to be able to have that experience. And, of course, it's always the best cast that we can pull, that we pulled there. You know, it's all union top-level entertainment. But, again, to your point, there's just something magical about seeing it on Broadway. But, you know, again, we love our tours because it's a way for people that cannot get to New York to at least be able to have that experience. But, you know, obviously we're thrilled when people, you know, come to the city and see it, you know, see it in its original theater. And, I mean, that's just the ultimate experience.
Now, is there any particular day that somebody, in other words, if you you can go online and get tickets, is there any particular day that you think is better or easier to get or cheaper as a matinee?
You know, I don't know traditionally. I would say, interestingly enough, Wednesday nights tend to be one of the, you know, I tend to some people, try to give me a Wednesday night if you want me to get tickets for you, because sometimes that's one of the easier nights. Matinees are crowded, depending on the show, because matinees tend to be, you know, for a certain age level of audience.
Right.
Or if you're having certain theater, you know, theater groups, church groups, you know, ladies groups that are doing lunches, they just prefer the daytimes. And then, of course, on the weekends, you know, Saturday and Sundays are wonderful opportunities for families or people commuting that want to do daytime. So I find that a Wednesday night, for whatever reason, seems to be one of those nights where there tends to be a bit more availability. I also want to say it's important on every show, you have to look at their schedule, because depending on the show, some shows might, you know, usually theaters in New York on Broadway are dark on a Monday night, but some shows might choose to do a Monday night. Some shows don't do a Wednesday afternoon matinee, but they do two shows on Sunday. So again, it's really important for the show that you're seeing, you know, that you want to see, go to the show's website, number one, and just see the time, the date and times they're offering. I do suggest you can go on, there's a website called Theater Mania and on Playbill.com. Both of them are two sites where they do offer a discount. Not every show will be on a discount, but they do have a button to press, and you can find out what shows are on discount. There's also another, I think it's an app, it's called Today's Ticks, and you can go on that one, and they're also one where they're good for day of purchase, because literally somebody from the Today's Ticks will be outside the theater and hand you your tickets, but quite often they have better prices as well.
Well,
and, you know, you have to be sure. Like, there's a lot of new shows out now that would be thrilled for business. If you're looking for a show right now that only has a 3-month run, 12 weeks with a big star, you know, you might just have to suck it up and say, I really want to see that, and I'm just going to have to pay that dollar amount, because that might not go on discount. But I would say it's kind of like with the airfares. Do your, you know, do a little bit of homework and research, and you can, you know, you might get lucky with a better price.
Now, I know we don't have much time, but I always want to ask you this question. And for those who don't know, you are just, you're like, in my book, really, there's no one better. How did you get involved with this to begin with? And I know we've talked about it to me, but I'd love you to tell the audience how you got involved with.
The short story came from a family of actors on my mother's side. Loved it. Dad passed young. There was a family business, so I got out of the theater, you know, acting world, went into the family business. Circle about 12 years or so later, take my little guy to a play date. Parents, the father was a Broadway producer. We become friends. We see shows together. And he said to me, you know, you'd be a good producer. You understand the material. You can tell if it's good songs, bad songs, play. Plus, you know, you can read a balance sheet. You can read the statements. And I started investing over a couple of years, and starting around 2005, 2006, started producing, and I've now been, my name has been on over 100 Broadway shows, and
I
would say by 20 in London's West End as well. So it just, I'm very fortunate. My love and my hobby became my workspace. I'm very blessed.
You are blessed to love what you do. Wendy, yes. I'll be calling you soon because I have to get tickets, but I have to tell you, thank you so much. There's so much to choose to. Have a great weekend, and I'll speak to you soon. I'll see you soon. Everyone, have a great weekend. I think the weather should be nice. And we'll be back next week. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back.
The preceding hour of programming paid for by DTHY Realty Incorporated.